So today is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany talks about the ways in which God manifests God's self to us. And our season ends this year with this reading from Mark's Gospel, which is known as the story of the Transfiguration. And it is a dazzling manifestation of who Jesus is. On Wednesday, we begin the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday. So we're in one of these kind of cusp moments. And as I was studying once more, and through all these years, you know, I've preached on this passage quite a few times, I was struck with something this year that I'm not sure I ever quite noticed before. It's one of the joys of going back and rereading and studying once more the passages that seem so familiar. Jesus, in this passage, doesn't spend a lot of time or energy dealing with God's voice from heaven, who, just as at his baptism, said, "This is my beloved Son." Rather, he almost immediately switches tones. So let's set the stage. Jesus has gone up to a mountain with three of his disciples, and there's a great deal of controversy over which mountain it is. You know, there is always controversy about places when we try to figure out exactly where something might have happened. But he goes up with Peter, with James, and with John, who, as you look at the Gospels, appear to be the three of the disciples that Jesus seems to spend the most of his time with, and I wonder why. Mostly because they have a hard time really getting Jesus right. So he has to spend a lot of time with them because they need to get it. You know, they need to get it, but they have so much trouble getting it. In fact, in a passage just before this in Mark's Gospel, we have the confession at Caesarea Philippi. And in this confession, Peter exclaims, "You are the Messiah, the Christ." And then almost immediately, Peter says, "Wow, we need to tell everybody this because, you know, you're going to be a Messiah and you're going to, you know, save us from the Romans." And he has a whole other idea of what Messiahship means. And the first thing Jesus says to Peter is, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So as much as we think Peter gets it, sometimes Peter doesn't get it, which to me is encouragement. If Peter couldn't get it, you know, probably the rest of us are going to have some trouble too. And then you've got James and John, who not too long from now begin to argue about who's going to be on Jesus' right hand and on his left hand in the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus comes in his might and again overthrows Roman rule, they want to be on his right and left hand, seated there so everybody can see them. Once again, Jesus says, no. You've got the wrong idea. So these three guys, Peter, James, and John, are with Jesus up on the mountain, and guess what? All of a sudden, once more, Jesus becomes transfigured or transformed, and his clothes become dazzling white. In fact, some of the scriptures say that the word for that really translates more like burnished metal, so bright that it's hard to look at. And once again, they're having this incredibly wonderful experience, and they see not only Jesus, but they see Moses and they see Elijah. Moses, who went up a mountain to receive God's law, and when Moses came back down the mountain, and when God was with the people, God was with the people in a cloud. Elijah, who heard on a mountain the still small voice of God. And was the greatest of the prophets, so much so that it is said that he didn't really die. He got into a chariot and was taken up into heaven. So you have these two incredible figures from the Hebrew history, Moses and Elijah, on the mountain talking with Jesus. And can you imagine Peter, James, and John in watching this? Wow! Wow! What an experience! I can't imagine any of us even thinking of anything that might be quite as magnificent or miraculous as the experience that Peter and James and John were having. And so they decide, they say, Jesus, let's build three dwelling places, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, as if somehow they could capture the moment, capture the people, hold on to them. We'll put them in these little dwellings and just keep them here, and we can come visit. You know, we'll come visit. We'll bring other people with us. We'll come, and then everybody will get to experience what we experienced. And Jesus said, oh, no, no, no. And as much as they were enjoying watching this, seeing what was going on, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Not look on him, but listen to him. These are the same three that not only did they have those problems, but Jesus took them with him into the Garden of Gethsemane, and the three of them fell asleep. These were tough characters, I tell you, to get through to. A little bit like us sometimes. We love the dazzling experiences, don't we? You know, we just love it. You know, I like this Sunday because I get to dress up in nice gold things, you know, it's pretty. It's fun. But it's not about looking. It's about listening. Listening to what it is God is trying to say through Jesus. Jesus immediately turns this whole thing around and he says, it's not about the dazzling experience. Not at all. And he says, by the way, this is a turning point. In Mark's gospel, it really is a turning point. From here on, Jesus turns his face toward Jerusalem. So in Mark's gospel, we have everything that comes before it. We have the baptism. We have him healing. And we have him teaching. And he comes to this moment on the mountain. And suddenly, he turns his face to Jerusalem. See, the disciples still think, whoa, we got a hold of something good here. And Jesus says, uh-uh. I think it's one of the reasons why this particular passage ends Epiphany just before we start the season of Lent. Because as Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem, he is also reminding Peter and James and John and us that he must go to Jerusalem to die. And that's the last thing in the world they wanted to hear. And sometimes it's the last thing we want to hear too. One of the great jokes among church folks is how sanctuaries fill up on Palm Sunday. That great, you know, coming into Jerusalem with palms waving. Hosanna, Hosanna. And then we jump right from there. The crowds come again on Easter. We are able to say, Hallelujah, he is risen. He is risen indeed, and we skip right over Maundy Thursday and Good Friday because we don't like those days so much. We don't want to see him crucified. And yet that's the heart of the story. Alexander Schmemann has written in a book entitled Celebration of Faith these words: faith is the touching of a mystery. It is to perceive another dimension to absolutely everything in the world. In faith, the mysterious meaning of life comes alive. Beneath the simple, explicable, one-dimensional surface of things, their genuine content begins to shine. To speak in the simplest terms, faith sees, knows, senses the presence of God in the world. That's what faith is. And with Jesus, faith comes alive. Because in Jesus, we see and we hear and we sense the presence of God in all of his humanity. And during this season of Lent, we're going to be focusing most of all on the humanity of Jesus, because if we don't get in touch with that, it's as if he's this transfigured figure that is otherworldly and has no connection to us at all. And the reality of it is, he is intensely connected to us. To us. One of my most favorite passages is from Philippians, the second chapter, where the author says this about Jesus: though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited or grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, a servant of a human being, and was born in human likeness. So on this Sunday, when we experience, if you will, the dazzling manifestation of God in Jesus, Jesus is quick to point out to us that it is about his humanity. And we too begin to turn ourselves toward Jerusalem, toward Good Friday, and then we get to Easter. Will you pray with me? God, we bless you for Peter and James and John, who are so much like us, who have a hard time grasping exactly who Jesus is. And yet you said, listen to him. He is my beloved child. So as we end this season of Epiphany and enter into a new season on Wednesday, help us to focus our attention on who Jesus is for us, so that we can see in him something akin to what it means to be truly and completely and fully and dazzlingly human. Thank you for this journey we are about to enter. May we be open to what you would have to teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.